Now it's my turn. Korn, leader of the Akuna tribe, killer of dragons and hero to all. I'll cut you down where you stand, demon spawn. I'll... What is that? Why am I in bottle cap? Hey you, puny human. Why is Korg represented by a bottle cap? Where's my double-bladed scimitar of Smek, my jeweled armor from the Mist Mountains, or my circlet of Orgr Strike? I can't even tell I have matching boots. Prepare to die, demon spawn. I'm the deadliest bottle cap around. But really, how about a real mini soon, huh?
Travel on over to Hero Forge through our affiliate link and get started on your amazing character today. Hey everyone, this is Let It Roll. I'm your host, Dre Civito, sitting with some friends who like to play Dungeons & Dragons. Let's have some fun, shall we? Hello everyone, I'm your host Dre Civito and welcome to Let It Roll's Class Outline, where we discuss a bit more into each class or subclass. Today's topic is the Alchemist, the Artificer subclass. I'm joined today with Tate Oswald.
Yo, what up?
So, to start this off, the Alchemist is an expert at combining reagents to produce mystical effects. Alchemists use their creations to give life and to leech it away. Alchemy is the oldest of the Artificer traditions, and it's versatility has long been valued during times of war and peace.
The tool proficiency you get at third level upon taking this subclass is you get proficiency with alchemist supplies. If you're already proficient with these, you gain proficiency with one other type of artisan tools of your choice.
Which is great. When you become third level, you get to make any of them that you want to. So if you already have whatever tools that you choose to make,
yeah, the alchemist supplies will be used for a lot of your features that you do with this class, as you'll see coming up.
Oh yeah, and then also the proficiency just allows you to use this set of tools to add your proficiency bonus to any ability checks you make using the tools in your craft. Each type of the tools requires a separate proficiency though, so this doesn't give you the full proficiency of all of them. You do get to choose two of them in the beginning, as well as a third, I do believe, but then as the fourth one, you get this one. So throughout the Alchemist, I do believe you get quite a bit of proficiencies within tools.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Alchemist spells. At third level, you get the Alchemist feature of getting their spells. You always have certain spells prepared after you reach particular levels in this class. As shown in the spell list, the spells count as Artificer spells for you, but they don't count against the number of spells you know and have prepared. So at third level, you get Healing Word and Ray of Sickness. This is where they had mentioned earlier about either using it for war or for peace, for either giving life or leeching it away. You have Healing Word as a bonus action and Ray of Sickness. At fifth level, you get Flaming Sphere and Melf's Acid Arrow. At ninth level, you get Gaseous Form and Mass Healing Word. At 13th level, you get Blight and Death Ward. And then at 17th level, you get Cloud Kill, and you also get Raised Dead. And again, these all work for you, as you don't have to count these with the number of Artificer spells you can prepare in a day. So again, these are all pretty good to have as a sort of either give life or take life away.
A lot of really powerful spells there. Coming up next, also at third level, you get Experimental Elixir. Whenever you finish a long rest, you can magically produce an experimental elixir in an empty flask you touch. Roll on the experimental elixir table for the elixir's effect, which is triggered when someone drinks the elixir. As an action, a creature can drink the elixir or administer it to an incapacitated creature. You can create additional experimental elixirs by expending a spell slot of first level or higher for each one. When you do, you use your action to create the elixir in an empty flask you touch and choose the elixir's effect from the experimental elixir table. Creating an experimental elixir requires you have your alchemist supplies on your person, And any elixir you create with this feature lasts until it is drunk or until the end of your next long rest. So they only last pretty much a day.
But that also says until the end of your next long rest. So if you have some scenario where, you know what, we're traveling for more days, let's just keep pushing on. And yeah, we're all going to have a level of exhaustion after the first or after that 1 hour. Let's push farther into that until you have that next long rest is when it's utilized. So,
yeah. When you reach certain levels in this class, you can make more elixirs at the end of a long rest, 2 at 6th level and 3 at 15th. Roll for each elixir's effect separately. Each elixir requires its own flask. So now we have the experimental elixir table. So as it said, you roll a d6. So 1 through 6, we'll go from 1 all the way to 6. And we have healing. The drinker regains a number of hit points equal to 2d4 plus your intelligence modifier. Basically, it very well can be just a basic healing potion, a potion of healing, or maybe a little better.
Yeah, because if you have a plus 2, that's what you're going to get in a health potion is 2d4 plus 2. But if your intelligence modifier is anything like a plus 3 or plus 4, then you're already doing better than what your health potion would be.
Next, we have swiftness. The drinker's walking speed increases by 10 feet for 1 hour. Could be pretty fun to use in certain situations. Coming in at number 3 on the D6 is resilience. The drinker gains plus 1 bonus to AC for 10 minutes. Always good. Sure. At 4, we got boldness. The drinker can roll a D4 and add the number rolled to every attack roll and saving throw they make for the next minute. Essentially, this is bless in a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Very powerful. Coming at number 5, we have flight. The drinker gains a flying speed of 10 feet for 10 minutes. And at 6, we got transformation. The drinker's body is transformed as if by the alter self spell. The drinker determines the transformation caused by the spell, the effects of which lasts for 10 minutes. There's a lot of really fun and interesting things here.
One thing I do want to point out is the boldness for number 4 is that D4 is added as well as if someone were to cast guidance or bless on you as well. It still yes. stacks. So it's not just 1d4 only for if you have boldness drink and if you have the guidance cantrip casted on you.
Yes. Could get very, very good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That helps. Is by far that one and healing, I think, are the two best ones out of all of them easily. Flight is very good situationally. There's a lot of really good stuff here. A lot of really situational uses. But being that you can use your spell slots for them,
yes.
You can easily get it out when you need it.
But again, just as to reiterate, you get one up to level 5. You can make one of these for free at the beginning of your day. So that's where like you roll in a d6 and you get it. But if you were to use a spell, then you can choose whichever one you want. And then at 6th level, you get 2 of them. And then at 15th level, you can make 3 of them at the beginning of your day and then use your spells for separate ones if you would want to. The one I really love is the transformation one, just because I remember using that in one of our campaigns. And it was changing the character into, I believe they were originally a minotaur. And then shifted down into an orc, I believe, a half-orc.
Yeah.
And it didn't help them out with what they were trying to do. I believe they were trying to break into a door, and then they shifted mid-run-through, and then poof, lost a lot of benefits that they would have had as a minotaur.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good one.
And then so just to reiterate for the audience, Tate and myself played in a campaign where I was the DM, and for this experimental elixir, the way I had Tate do it, which I think we agreed on would be fine to do, was to have him roll the D6, or I would roll it, and I would not tell him like what he would get. Like I would hide it in secret, because unless he knew what the elixir was, to us, that's what was making it experimental. Like he was like trying different things, and then beginning of his day, I would roll for him behind the screen. I would hold it from him, and then I would just describe what's inside the vial itself. I think one of them I said that the item at the bottom of the vial started to shift from like a fang to an eye to an ear to a hair follicle to a whole bunch of different things. And that to me was the transformation spell that he had for Alter Self. And I think the way we had originally decided was to do it was once you knew it all, then you could decide. I don't know how we ended up going about it. I mean, you only played to level 4.
Once I learned that one, I could go ahead and I would know what it was. Like, and, say, you know, day one, you rolled a 1 for the healing potion. I now knew the healing potion one, so I could recognize it and use my spell slots for it.
Yeah.
We really keyed in on that word experimental, and it was a lot of fun.
And that's a lot of fun
role playing in it.
Oh, yeah. That's more of a table or DM specific thing, too. Like, some DMs won't even care for it. They're like, yeah, you can roll whatever. Or even then, if you are more against that idea to where, you know what? It says I know these already. I'm just going to roll it, and this is what I get, and this is what I have in my hands. You can play it that way as well, but I think it was more fun for Tate and I that we had it hidden from him as the experimental, like he had said, emphasizing on that feature that I think made it a bit more included for his class.
Yeah. I even remember I would roleplay it out where I would use some really funky stuff in the concoctions to make, and it was fun.
With every battle, you were basically diving into the bodies and pulling out organs or little follicles or like nails and stuff like that, and essentially trying to dive in there. You pull out notebooks and stuff like that, and this was really fun to work with as a DM standpoint because it was able to broaden the game rather than just say, okay, the enemies are gone, where are you guys off to next? Okay, you're at point A, point B, now here you go. This role play style I really appreciate, because then it opens up the minds for all the players to actually dive into it more. Next up, we have the Alchemical Savant. At 5th level, the Alchemist feature is you develop a masterful command of magical chemicals, enhancing the healing and damage you create through them. Whenever you cast a spell using your Alchemist supplies as a spellcasting focus, you gain a bonus to one roll of the spell. That roll must restore hit points or be a damage roll that deals acid, fire, necrotic, or poison damage, and the bonus equals your intelligence modifier, minimal of a +1.
Very good. You're already going to be casting a lot of spells as the Alchemist, which is one of my biggest gripes with it, is they're only a half caster and they want to cast a lot of spells.
Oh, yeah.
But you're already going to be casting a lot that do those damage, and getting a extra to your healing is just good.
And then one thing I do want to point out in this is that it says whenever you cast a spell using your Alchemist supplies. So when you are playing the official artificer, you can infuse your items and you can use your infusion as your spell casting focus. So in that same scenario, if your DM kind of like, you know, says, hey, you don't get that +1 bonus now, or you can't, you know, do the extra roll because you're not using your Alchemist supplies to do that spell. You're using your focus of a different feature rather than your Alchemist supplies. So this is where you got to realize what you're doing and how you're doing it to give yourself that advantage boost, essentially.
Next up, we got Restorative Reagents, your 9th level Alchemist feature. You can incorporate Restorative Reagents into some of your works. Whenever a creature drinks an experimental elixir you create, the creature gains temporary hit points equal to 2d6 plus your intelligence modifier, minimum of 1. Minimum of 1 temporary hit point. Another bullet point is you can cast Lesser Restoration without expending a spell slot and without preparing the spell, provided you use Alchemist supplies as the spellcasting focus. You can do so a number of times equal to your intelligence modifier, minimum of once, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. It's just a very good thing to have at your disposal in case you need it.
Oh,
it's one of those spells that you don't need it until you need it. And when you need it, you better hope you have it.
Because if you're paralyzed and you don't have like any of the lesser restoration spells prepared, then you can cast this even without having it prepared as many times as your intelligence modifier allows.
Yes, for free.
Oh, yeah, for free. And then it's also, you know, at the end of a long rest, you get it all back, too. So if, you know, if you have a big party, you can cast it maybe 2-3 times. Maybe you have more party members that still need to be cured as well. Next long rest, boom, you can do that again. And maybe they're still blinded or deafened or paralyzed or poisoned by that affection. So then you can actually cure them in that sort of stance.
Yeah. And it's one disease.
Yes.
as well. So a lot of the, you know, that's more up to your DM's discretion on what diseases they have that'll, it can come in handy.
Or I guess role play, and this is going to kind of go out there with, oh, hey, I have a very extravagant bard in the group that, you know, might have caught something. So there you go.
Exactly.
Let me cure your disease real quick. Come on, yep. Please. I'll do it. Just give me 10 gold. Okay. Oh, yeah. Here you go. Yeah. I can go be a bard again.
I feel like we just glossed over the temp HP. I mean, as we've seen in our current campaign, temp HP is very powerful.
It definitely is. And I think I do want to make a notion when you were explaining this earlier for the temporary hit points that you gain from the creature drinking this, it's a minimal of +1 for the intelligence modifier, I want to say, because you're already going to roll 2d6 plus your intelligence modifier, which if your intelligence modifier, I guess if you had a negative, you'd be able to get
a negative for some reason. I think that's what they're looking at.
That's probably what they're looking at. Because like when you had read it to me, I was like, man, that doesn't make sense at all. Why would it be a minimal of one when you're already rolling 2d6? Like you're minimally going to get at least 2. But yeah, I guess there are some scenes and scenarios where you would get a negative for some of your, you know, your parts. But all right. And then I do believe the last one is the chemical mastery. At 15th level alchemist feature, you have been exposed to so many chemicals that they pose little risk to you, and you can use them to quickly end certain ailments. For a bulletin point, you gain resistance to acid damage and poison damage, and you are immune to being the poison condition, which the poison condition itself gives you disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks. The next bulletin then says that you can cast greater restoration and heal without expending a spell slot, without preparing the spell, and without material components, provided you have alchemist supplies as your spell casting focus. Again, heavy on using the alchemist supplies for the specifics within this class, or within this subclass, I should say.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because I believe greater restoration requires some hefty cost on the component side.
It's a 5th level spell. You can imbue a creature you touch with positive energy, undoing a debilitating effect. You can reduce the target's exhaustion level by 1, or end one of the following effects on the target, such as you can end the charmed or petrified on the target, you can cure one curse, including the target's attunement to a cursed magic item, any reduction to one's target ability scores, one effect reducing the target's hit point maximum, and that's just on greater restoration.
Yeah, but yeah, it does require 100 gold worth of diamond dust.
Yeah.
Which the spell consumes. So that's pretty hefty.
Yeah, so not just needing that at all definitely helps out.
Yeah.
As well as then heal as well. You get to choose a creature that you can see within range, and the surge of positive energy washes through you, through the creature, causing it to regain 70 hit points. You don't have to roll nothing. This is the great thing about heal. The spell also ends blindness, deafness, and any disease affecting the target. The spell has no effect on constructs or undead, though. So when you cast this one as well, I mean, there is nothing that you need for. It's just a complete, like, instantaneous effect. You don't need any certain items or gold, nothing with it. So I guess that's
but
where the bonus comes.
But that is a 6th level spell, which is higher than anything you're going to get as a half-caster.
Oh, yeah,
it's a higher
sure.
spell than any other half-casters get, I believe.
Yeah. So any key notes that you'd like to poise at the end of this episode there, Tate?
I mean, as you can see, they're heavy on the spell casting. It would be, as playing an alchemist, I only played to level 4, which doesn't say much. I didn't get really into, you know, the alchemist or the alchemical savant or any of the other heavy stuff. But being those low levels, it can get very monotonous as the alchemist. There's a really fun concept here that I really like the idea. And if you want to play it, by all means, go ahead and play it. Just be ready for maybe not always being the best at some things in your party. Have that expectations going into it, and I think you can have a lot of fun with this class. As far as like role playing goes, there's a lot of fun to be had.
Yeah, I can see a lot. And when we were playing ourselves, I believe it was a lot of role playing that came from your character, and it was all fun. I mean, it made a lot of key moments within the campaign, and I thought it was a blast. And
yeah, Yeah, I would love to play another Artificer. And I'd even think about playing another Alchemist. But maybe not starting out. Maybe a higher level Alchemist I'd think about playing just to try to get...
During the one-shots?
Yeah. Like do a one-shot of one.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And with that, I do believe we've covered everything within the Alchemist Artificer. We hope you enjoyed today's content and hope you also learned something new or discovered a different way to apply features within this class. If you would like to discuss a bit more, you can find us on our socials linked within the description of this episode. Again, we appreciate you for listening and hope you look forward to more content like this. Don't forget, let it roll.